U.S. troops coming home from Iraq. The reaction of Captain Jessica Dawson, stationed at Fort Hood and looking forward to the return of her husband, still stationed in Iraq.
When we started out with the deployment in 04, we knew it was going to be a long war, but to finally see it come to an end is pretty cool.
President Obama making the announcement today, all troops home for the holidays.
The last American soldier will cross the border out of Iraq with their heads held high, proud of their success, and knowing that the American people stand united in our support for our troops.
I'm Cammie McCormick in Washington. The U.S. has less than 46 bases in Iraq now, down from a high of more than 500 at the height of the war. There are less than 40,000 troops in the country, acting as advisors and trainers to the Iraqis. Military officials say the U.S. will maintain a presence in the region. That could be in neighboring countries like Kuwait or Jordan, so that Americans could respond quickly to any threat if called upon.
The nearly 9-year-old war, unpopular, divisive. More than 4,400 Americans losing their lives in it. Muslim law requires that Muammar Gaddafi be buried by now, but that's on hold, so circumstances of his death can be better investigated. Al Jazeera English correspondent James Bays in Misrata, where Gaddafi's body now lies.
We understand there are discussions behind the scenes exactly how this will take place. It's going to happen at a location that they want eventually to keep secret, and that's why I'm watching too much information to the media. Discussions going on who would represent Gaddafi's family and his tribe at this burial.
Libya's National Transitional Council now says it will declare the full liberation of Libya this Sunday. The haves and the have-nots in America. As we hear from CBS's Gary Nunn, the difference between the two is widening.
For most of us, it is a struggle with the income gap widening. University of Notre Dame finance professor Jeffrey Bergstrand says it's really up to the government.
There needs to be some form of a stimulus package to spur demand in the economy to help get jobs going again, which will then flow over into the private sector.
One half of all working Americans now, according to the Social Security Administration, earned less than $26,000 last year in a dizzying downtrend and fewer jobs. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Ahead of the Sunday night 60 Minutes interview with the biographer Steve Jobs, here Jobs tells Walter Isaacson about the search for his biological father.
When I was looking for my biological mother, obviously, you know, he was looking for my biological father. And I learned a little bit about him, and I didn't like what I learned.
In the interview, we learned that Jobs actually did meet that father without knowing it. He was a successful restaurant owner in Silicon Valley where Jobs would often dine. Wall Street traders, an hour away from calling it a pretty good week. The Dow right now up 228 points. The NASDAQ is up 30. The S&P 500 up 19. This is CBS News.
If you've been looking for Pandora jewelry, look no further. You'll find it at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, rings, and bracelets from Jared. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection, literally hundreds of items.
It can only be Jared!
Visit Jared throughout October and receive a Pandora pink leather travel box with any $125 Pandora purchase. See store for details.
Can't believe I'm pulling this off after all these years. So glad I got that personal loan from OneMain Financial.
Can I take this blindfold off?
Let me help you.
We're going on a cruise.
No, dear. The honeymoon we never took.
You've made promises. We can help you keep them. We are OneMain Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to OneMainFinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. OneMain Financial. Your needs, your goals, your dreams. Offer subject to restrictions and requirements of a licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
The Great Pumpkin comes to town in just a few days, so you know who's coming next.
Well, not if that town is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is canceling its annual holiday parade because organizers couldn't raise enough money. City official Brenda Alton.
I was in a meeting where I had to announce that there was not going to be a holiday parade. And, of course, it was like a gasp, like, oh, no, you know, this has been a tradition since 1986.
She says the parade just cost the city too much. And she says Harrisburg's traditional New Year's Eve fireworks show may also be canceled. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
She is at the Los Angeles County Morgue, a high-profile prisoner mopping floors and doing laundry. Assistant Chief Ed Winter on the latest court-ordered activities being carried out by Lindsay Lohan.
She's had her orientation, and she is starting her community service.
Lohan performing that service as punishment for taking a necklace from a store without paying for it. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Right now, the Home Depot has 10% off appliances of $297 or more, plus free haul away and delivery that's really free on brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. So it's never been easier to get appliances that are more dependable, more energy efficient, and yes, shiny. An upgraded kitchen or laundry room starts with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through November 9th, U.S. only. See store for details.
My kids are back in school, and they bring home all kinds of things, including cold and flu.
Colette Parker helps her family stay healthy with Sam's Club.
First, flu shots for everyone.
Available now through November 15th.
Then the house gets a clean sweep to keep it cold and flu free, with big brands like Clorox Wipes, Dial Soap, and Kleenex for less.
In fact, last year, Sam's Club members saved an average of 30% over traditional retailers on everyday items.
And that's nothing to sneeze at.
Learn more at samsclub.com/healthyliving. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
It's Friday, but more importantly, today is the end of the world.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
I was having a good time, you know, and whatnot. And then I find out the end of the world there today. You know, we got the Christian Broadcasting people, the network, and they said, remember they said May 21st was going to be the end of the world? So they changed it and says today. It's October 21st. I thought something was kind of suspicious this morning when Nancy sent me off, and she was very emphatic that I wear clean socks and clean undies.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Smokin' Moe's Barbecue is the barbecue you're going to love every time you put it in your mouth. Filthy Phil's ribs, sweet Carolina pork ribs, barbecue rib combo, barbecued half chicken, barbecue sampler, and Moe's Chipotle lime tacos are just a few of the things that are just absolutely wonderful at Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue. Plus, of course, they have all the other great things, like they got burgers, they got cheeseburgers, they got Moe burgers, Carolina burgers, barbecue chicken breast and Carolina chicken, California chicken and garden burgers, not to mention shredded pork, shredded chicken, shredded beef, tri-tip sandwiches, and they also have, of course, salads, too. They have a barbecue chopped chicken salad, Caesar salad, tri-tip salad, Calypso salad, Moe's Cobb salad, and a green salad, so you can eat one of each of those. And then, don't forget the homemade sides. They have Moe's homemade sides, homemade potato chips, killer garlic fries, sweet potato fries, seasoned fries, beer battered onion rings, fried green tomatoes, Grandpa Tom's barbecue beans, pantry coleslaw, potato salad, three corn muffins with honey butter, garlic bread, and they also have a children's menu, and they also have dessert, too. So you cannot go wrong when you go to Moe's. Go to Moe's on the corner of Osos and Monterey. Go to Moe's on Pomeroy and Pismo Beach, and you'll be asking for Moe. Moe barbecue, please.
Looking for a great holiday gift idea that won't break the bank? Remember this name.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
That's right.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
They're your local neighbors, and their coffee is always a crowd pleaser. Now's the time of year to enjoy Slow Roasted Coffee's special holiday blends. Candy cane, pumpkin pie, winter wonderland, and a favorite, cinnamon gingerbread. Folks love their coffee, and if you're wondering what to give your coworker or need to pick up a host gift before you go to that holiday party, it's Slow Roasted Coffee to the rescue. Got someone out of town? Send them a gift from the happiest place on earth. Shop online at slowroasted.com. They'll ship it for you. Locally, you'll find Slow Roasted Coffee at grocery stores throughout the county. This holiday season, don't just drink coffee, enjoy it. Drink Slow Roasted Coffee. So good.
So absolutely good. So absolutely good. Today being Friday on 1340 KYNS, your news station in San Luis Obispo, we're going to have, of course, CalcoastNews.com, and Karen Vili is going to be coming our way momentarily. But first, because this is so vitally important that I do this every single day, so we have some sense of where we've been and where we're going,
our highlight in history, according to the Tribune, on October 21st, 1879, Thomas Edison perfected a workable electric light at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey. And it was a bright idea. 1959, the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum, designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, opened in New York. 1991, American hostage Jesse Turner was freed by his kidnappers in Lebanon after nearly 5 years in captivity. Birthdays today, rock singer Manfred Mann, here she walking down the street, is 71, and actress, author Carrie Fisher, who's a very, 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 very strange woman, but she's thinner now, and she's 55. So happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it is your birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. And they're worth a call. 543-9047. 543-9047. Coastal Computers. Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
It is the Cal Coast News Week in Review right here on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo with Karen Vealey and Bill Beneke. And I thank you for joining us. And Karen's right here. Hi, Karen. How are you today?
Hi, Bill.
How's everything?
Everything is very good.
All right. Here's what's really good, I think, for our troops and a job well done. And so the president announced here just a short time ago that all American troops will be out of Iraq by the end of the year, and which is, what, 2.5 months, less than 2.5 months. So that, I mean, everybody.
That's amazing.
Everybody. It is amazing. It's really cool. And that falls on the heels of Muammar Gaddafi's demise. And so the president has had some huge successes in this crazy war business that we've been waging. So that's good. The only thing that disturbs me is a little bit of concern. Now, there'll still be a lot of civilian contractory type weapon-y shoot 'em up guys over there, the mercenaries. There'll still be some of those.
Yeah.
But the reason that the president decided to speed up his timetable was he went to Malachi and said, if we leave American troops there, they have to be able to be free of any prosecution. You know, they're soldiers. And they wouldn't agree to that. They were like, well, we think our government's in place now, and we're not going to allow that. So they're like, well, fine, we can't have that situation. That's untenable. So we'll just pull them out. So that's why we're pulling them out. The only thing that concerns me is, of course, we're going to leave a contingent of Marines at the remember the size of the embassy we built there?
Yeah.
The size of the embassy is about the size of Rhode Island. And so they're going to have Marines to guard it. And remember how well that worked in Iran. If I recall, the hostage crisis there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll see how it goes. But I hope for good things. That's what we can just hope for good things. Correct.
Yes.
Okay, that's where we're going. All right. I throw her when I do national news. She's like, "What? Where's my stuff? Come on, Ben, I can get my stuff going on. I got it right here." All right. Oh, so we're going to get the Cal Coast News and talk. What is going on here? We're going to get the Cal Coast News and find out what's happening on Cal Coast News, because there's a lot of things going on today. Let's just do this first one first, because it's sitting here and I want to just get it out of the way. Sometimes we do things that, you know, it looks like we're really serious about what we're trying to find out, and it seems to make a lot of sense, you know, and so we say, okay, well, we're going to go investigate this, and by gosh, we're going to make sure that everything's okay. The USS Montebello was torpedoed in 1941. Now, this was before they had double hulls, you know. This was before they had the EPA. This was before they even knew the war was coming in 1941. So the Montebello gets torpedoed. Now, when you get torpedoed, you get a big hole blown in the side of an oil tanker. What comes out? Oil. So anyway, so I sort of wasn't surprised when they went down to investigate and said, well, there's no oil left in it. Of course there's not. There was a big hole blown in the side of it, and all the oil went away. So they're not sure where it went away, because at that time we were more concerned with being bombed by the Japanese than we were about worrying about where the oil went. So they're not sure.
And I know the interesting thing is, they said, you know, as this has been going around for about a year, we've got to investigate. If this leaks out, it's going to cause so much damage. And there's no sign that anybody even noticed it leaking out in the 40s, which is kind of amazing. It will destroy the coastline between Cayucos and Morro Bay and just really make a mess. But how could it make that much of a mess if no one even noticed it leaked out back in the 40s?
Yeah, I you know, but anyway, so anyway, the job's done, and whoever, you know, funnels money into whatever they funnel money into to make sure that everything in the world is fine, where the world is at peace again. But we had a thing happen here, and but it sounds like the pilot walked away. We had an early morning crash in Paso, outside of Paso Airport, a single-engine plane.
And I don't know if he walked away. They said there was some injuries.
He called, but he was able to call and tell people how to find him.
Yeah.
You know, a few years back here, we had somebody hit the side of Islay Hill, and they weren't quite so lucky. They went right in the middle of it. So we're glad. Hopefully that person's going to be okay. And you know, it's actually amazing, in my opinion. You know, when you think of all the little planes that are flying around up there, you know, and you don't know if they're paying for the maintenance on the engine and whatnot. I'm glad more of them don't fall out of the sky, to tell you the truth. Because there was just one in L.A. A guy landed in a parking lot. A guy landed in a parking lot and walked away from it. It's like, okay. All right, we're doing we're getting up to the good stuff right here, and so here, right here, this is this one I'm loving a whole lot, and this is the campaign secrecy donor thing rebuffed, and we'll want to talk about that. Go ahead and you lead into it.
Go ahead. Actually, why don't you go in from the story? Because somebody else posted that this morning.
Okay, that's fine. No problem.
And I haven't even taken a look
at
it.
And to keep secret the identities of California political campaign donors was throttled yesterday by a federal judge. Proponents of Prop 8, a voter-approved initiative to ban same-sex marriages, argued they were harassed by political opponents. But U.S. District Judge Morrison England Jr. denied that and amounted to a challenge to the state's campaign disclosure law.
I did actually see this. Okay. And we have several reporters at CalCoast News that post the news in the morning.
Right.
But I do find this very interesting. This could have put such a can of worms together. All you could ask not to be named because someone might be mad at you. And I mean, because there's always going to be somebody on the other side. And politics are politics. Even locally, I see people throwing different assaults against one another regarding even small town politics.
Sure.
This could get once you stop acknowledging who the campaign donors are, it could get very murky.
Well, now, this is interesting, because we're, and those of us that are just walking Americans go, you can't do that. You know, this is the law. There's a reason for the law, is to find out who's financing things, and that we have a right as an electorate to know that. But let me go back and see if we can either one of us remember. So where are we with the Ernie DeLidio's project? Remember, everybody donated money under the auspices of a free and happy open space, or whatever they called it, and they eventually found out Jan Marx was involved in a bunch of other people. But did they eventually have to disclose who was there? I remember the Copelands were involved.
The Copelands were involved, and it's suspected that others were involved, and they're going to have to do that by going after the bank accounts. I spoke to Ernie last week. And we were supposed to get together this week, and now I'm just remembering I ran into him on the bike trail. And we were, you know, he had his grandson and I had my grandson. It was kind of, so we stood there and talked for a few minutes. So he kind of, I know that he is considering a lawsuit against several people, and I think that there's a fairly good chance that Jan Marx will be named in a lawsuit if it does occur, I've been told, as will others. But one of the first things they'll do as a lawsuit is go after the bank accounts. Because the bank account, Booker was using his bank to funnel the money through, and the Copelands put $100,000 in. I guess Booker was supposedly put $100,000 in, but some say that $100,000 from Booker may have come from other developers that are trying to keep their names out of this.
I think if I'm wrong here. I'm saying this with some reservation because I'm not sure, but I think I heard John Madonna's mentioned named in all of this.
There have been allegations that they might be. Here's what happened with Madonna Properties. And it was, I think it was Clint Pierce at the time. There were calls
I apologize. It wasn't John Madonna. It was Clint Pierce.
There were calls to, DeLidio was trying to put his properties in, and Clint Pierce was going after places like Target. And I have been told by DeLidio's attorneys that Target received phone calls from Clint Pierce saying, there's no way we're letting this go through. If you want to get a Target into slow, you're going to have to work with us. And amazingly, no one fought the Target going in with Madonna, you know, with Clint Pierce with Madonna Properties. But there was a case regarding a cheesecake factory where something similar happened in outside of L.A. And one gentleman was trying to put in a cheesecake factory. Another gentleman said, hey, you know, you do it with him and you're not going to get it over on these other properties and just stop it. It put the one gentleman's property cheesecake factory back 1 year. He sued in federal court, and the judge gave him $86 million for his trouble from the other developer.
Okay.
Yes. And so they've been speaking to federal, you know, to not local attorneys, but to some attorneys that do federal cases, and they've talked about doing a RICO case against those that stopped him here because of a number of illegal things. You can do RICO if there's three certain types of illegal acts that occur in a activity that ends up being considered criminal. And remember, the FPPC did say this was an illegal act. Then you can go after RICO. And what RICO means, it's racketeering, organized crime, but what it does is it gives you triple the damages. So if the judge says, I'm giving you $20 million, you get $60 million. So if you can prove three illegal acts occurred, then you win the trifecta.
Wow.
And
oh, well.
So there is, they were going after that. And remember, this has already been started once. And without prejudice, it was dropped because they claimed that they were a grassroots, you know, group of environmentalists that were funded by grassroots environmentalists. And now it's come out that they weren't real honest to the court in the federal court in L.A. and that it was actually developers with opposing interests. So it will be interesting as this goes on. And again, I was supposed to talk to Delidio this week and just forgot to give him a call.
That's right. Well, you're on the bike path. That's right. Well, you're a busy lady. You run around. All kinds of things are going on, and so that's what's going on with that. Now, other things that are happening. There was something that was on the back of my mind, but I'll remember it. And then go
Adam
ahead.
Hill.
Yeah, what's going on with Adam Hill?
There has been another instance regarding Adam Hill, and again, where he has gotten angry when someone doesn't agree with his views. But on this case, it appears that he really, really stepped on the rights of the public. The public has a right to question authorities. They have their 3 minutes to speak, and they have a right to get up and say something. Lindy Owens, who has, Lindy, is it Owens? Had gotten up several times saying that she didn't like the Paavo Ogren, Maria Kelly issue. She had quoted Cal Coast News several times and said, you know, there was an investigation into the issue, but the only thing they investigated was very narrow. They only investigated, did this cause the vote to change over? Now, where she was on the tech, she was on the tech, you know, the technical committee at the time. They're claiming their relationship didn't start until January of this year, but there's a lot of phone calls going back years before. But anyway, when the head of the county said no, it doesn't appear that they, you know, they say they weren't dating, and I don't think that this has caused the sewer issue to go through. That's probably the opponent's non-major claim. There was other claims the opponents made. She was going to get up and say, you know, this was too limited, and I think there's still a problem. So Adam Hill turns her microphone off and says, I'm not going to hear slander. Now, he doesn't, you have a right to get up and say something that he may not agree with. And to turn someone's microphone off could end up in a lawsuit against the county, of which the taxpayers will probably have to cover. Not Adam Hill. So there's just, in this day and age, for, you know, he has brought in law enforcement to stand in the back of the room so he can get to have people drug out that he doesn't like what they're doing. He had her taken from the room when she wanted to speak about something he didn't want to hear. Turned off her mic and had her removed by law enforcement.
I asked the other day, I said, why is Adam Hill always in the news? That's why, right there. more of the same, I guess, for this gentleman.
It's there have been a lot of different issues over the last few months with different allegations from many people. I have probably personally seen 20 emails. Somebody ends the email in F you. He sent me a couple of those. And I've seen him going out to another media person where he called them an idiot, idiot, idiot. For doing a public records request that he thought he, you know, so if a journalist sends you an email saying, could you, you know, give these emails up, and you respond back, I guess I have to, even though you're an idiot, idiot, idiot. Is that how we want our public officials responding? He is the head of the supervisor board. He is probably our top elected official, and this is the way he treats the public. There have also been allegations from people on the left and people on the right that he has been abusive and mistreated them when they did not agree with him. I'll give you an example. The CFA at Cal Poly, the union, supported him in his last election, promoted by Tim O'Keefe. He is their political liaison for the CFA, I think, so he is very involved.
Tell us what CFA stands for.
California Faculty Association. Okay. It's their union.
Okay.
So Tim was, the family donated money. He worked on the campaign. He was very pro-Adam Hill. So he runs into him about a year ago, Tim tells me, and walks up and says, and you know, Tim's in his 80s, and walks up and says, so what are we going to do for the campaign this year? And he said, Adam turned around and said, it's none of your damn business. And he said, I'm hoping the CFA is not going to support him this year, and I'm going to recommend they don't. So you're ending up with him irritating different people, even people that helped him before. And I know of numerous stories like this and numerous emails that have gone out that have been very aggressive. But again, he's head of the county.
Does this arrogance stem from his childhood or being elected supervisor?
I have no idea. You know, it's weird. I took a class from him at Cal Poly once. I liked him as a teacher, and I was very, very supportive of his run. You know, I'm now afraid to be supportive of anybody ever because it's so often someone that you think you like what they say when they're running, and they get elected, and then strangeness occurs.
You know, this is it. Remember, I said this to you once before, and I've always believed this. And I have police I've been very friendly with, and yet they always, to me, have a look about them that says, any time you could fall off the edge, and I'd have to arrest you. You know, I really like you, but there's this look about them that says you could screw up. You know, and so I think what we're finding out for sure, and more often, is you know, there's people that are very nice people. We consider them very nice people, or someone else considers them very nice people. Guess what? They do things wrong. You know, you can call it human, you can call it whatever you want to, but that's what happens.
And charming people get away with it so much more and so much longer. If someone has, you know, I've written about people in the past, and people come up to me, you've got to be wrong, they're charming. And I'm thinking, you know, if they're not charming, you get more people right on board.
Right, right.
But that the charming issue just...
Well, at least that's good advice to someone that wants to do something wrong. Be charming. At least you'll get away with it longer. All right. That's Karen Veeley. That's an endorsement from Karen Veeley on how to do it. All right. It's up to you now, kid. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break because we've got a lot more things to talk about. This is CalCoastNews.com, our week in review with Bill Benek and Karen Veeley on 1340 KYNS, your news station in San Luis Obispo. And we shall return. Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henney. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at the 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Looking for a great holiday gift idea that won't break the bank? Remember this name.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
That's right.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
They're your local neighbors, and their coffee is always a crowd pleaser. Now's the time of year to enjoy Slow Roasted Coffee's special holiday blends. Candy cane, pumpkin pie, winter wonderland, and a favorite, cinnamon gingerbread. Folks love their coffee, and if you're wondering what to give your coworker or need to pick up a host gift before you go to that holiday party, it's Slow Roasted Coffee to the rescue. Got someone out of town? Send them a gift from the happiest place on earth. Shop online at slowroasted.com. They'll ship it for you. Locally, you'll find Slow Roasted Coffee at grocery stores throughout the county. This holiday season, don't just drink coffee, enjoy it. Drink Slow Roasted Coffee. So good.
I know what you're saying. You say, but Bill, that music was on a long time because Karen's going, Bill, don't mention that, Bill. Don't. Hey, Bill. Hey. That's not actually true. As you well know, I don't really know anything. That's why I have Karen here on Fridays because she does know it. I have a little thing I was going to bring up because I thought it was interesting. And again, I don't have an axe to grind whatsoever. We have this new signage affair that they want to do in San Luis Obispo for $50,000. I don't know how many. Here's the weird part. I don't know how many signs. Maybe you can have somebody look this up. How many signs are we getting for $50,000?
And I thought that you're not talking the Sunday signs, and you're talking the other signs.
No, I'm talking about these new signs that tell you the airport's this way and the train station's this way. And Pierre Rademacher, you know, who's had an example of one. And so they already voted. They approved it. One person didn't vote. But I'll try to remember who it was. Because he said, I'm not sure I like the color. It was brown. And he said, maybe it should be blue and yellow, which is our... I just thought that was the bus colors. Is there anything else in town that's blue and yellow?
I don't know.
I don't know. Not that I... Anyway, maybe.
But blue and yellow you look at more than brown. Brown isn't... You know, brown is not... Yellow is the most seen color when you're driving.
But the thing is that... in a way, though, is, well, okay, I see your point. Maybe there's some color. Maybe there's a compromise here. But anyway, the point is that it's going to be in white on brown and say, okay, the airport's that way, the train station's that way. You know, just simple kind of directional signs, you know, not with distance or anything, but more of them. So people that are driving around town can find Bubblegum Alley and all that kind of stuff and the Mission. Anyway, my thought was this, though, I don't know. The city can go to all the different graphic designers, everyone in town, and say, you know what, give us a proposal for what you think that you would do with this sign, what you would do with this signage. I'm under the impression, I don't know for sure, but I'm under the impression they've already approved this, and Pierre just got a free ride on that thing, and which is okay again, but I don't understand why the city doesn't ask for more people to put out an idea.
And they're required by law to bid if it's going to be $50,000. So I can't imagine they didn't put this out to bid. And if they didn't, for example, the story on Paso Robles having FEMA whine over $1 million back because they didn't do proper bidding. My phone has rang off the hook. I've had emails forwarded to me from other agencies. I've had people that went to FEMA, asked for the funds, and now are angry because it was given to people without bid and without looking at cost. Agencies throughout this county have now been turned over to the Office of the Inspector General for investigations. And I've seen emails, I've had forwarded emails going back and forth that they say, we're investigating this one, we're investigating that one. This might get a little dirty before this is all over.
Yeah, it's such a simple thing, and I don't understand why the cities aren't understanding how it works. It's always worked this way for them.
There's several reasons for it also. The reason is it keeps costs down. You get an idea of what it really runs. And you also allow, it gets rid of the favoritism. It brings in ethnic businesses, women-owned businesses. It does. It opens it up to everyone rather than just saying, okay, I've worked with Joe over here for 40 years, and I just give everything to Joe. Or one of the examples on one of the agencies here in town that was turned in for FEMA, one of the directors voted to give it to his own construction company to do the work, non-bid.
Well,
and the other two directors agreed, let's just give it to him. So, I mean, and I can imagine they're probably going to have to give the money back. But you know who this is going to be hurting in the long run is taxpayers. Or in the short term, if there's a lot of money wanted back from FEMA, it's going to go after the taxpayers. In the long run, I think it's going to stop a lot of this failing to comply to law. The law is very specific. If the cost is over a certain amount, by law, it needs to be put out to bid.
But this is a two-pronged thing here. Okay, so here's the deal here. $50,000 for the various signs that are going to say Bubblegum Alley Airport, all that kind of stuff. Then you have another huge thing here. Let me get it for you. You have another chunk here that is the city's asked to pay $50,000 of the project. That's made $185,000. That's to put the big sign up at Highland and Santa Rosa. They want to put a big welcome to San Luis Obispo or whatever the sign is. Okay, well, that's $185,000, and $50,000, that's going to be from the city. Now, are they going to bid that?
I would. They legally have to. I can't imagine that they wouldn't bid that out. The law says they have to.
And here's what Andrew Carter said. Andrew Carter did not vote for the signage program for the entry monument, citing concerns about the brown color chosen for the signs, saying he would prefer the city's blue and yellow. He also said the size of the monument at Highland Drive, reaching up to 40 feet in length, was too big. So actually, they could do one. Have you ever been to, what's the guy's name, the country singer in Bakersfield? Come on,
Hager? No.
We'll come up with it.
Okay.
But he has his own little world that he has. You know, that is his hotel, and he has a thing that goes across the whole street.
Says,
"Welcome to." God, it'll come to me. I'm at a senior moment. It's okay. It's okay. We have somebody on the phone. You want to put on your headphones? We'll get on the phone and say hi to somebody. Buck Owens, and his Crystal Palace. He has a Crystal Palace in Bakersfield. Hello.
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 How are you?
Who's calling?
This is Mike.
Hi, Mike calling.
Hey, I had a couple of questions. Well, one thing with Rademacher, unless things have radically changed with him, is that they don't actually make the signs. They bid that out to different people. They do the design work. And I have yet to see them do something now that they don't at least get an upfront charge for.
Say that. I didn't understand what you said. In other words,
Rademacher comes up with the design, okay? They don't actually make the sign itself.
No, I understand that, okay.
They farm that out to other companies. But the last that I heard, every time that anybody's ever gone to him for a design for their company, they have to come with some front money right up front. Because even if the design is rejected, they're not going to take it in the shorts. Whereas if they went to every sign company, let's just say the ones in San Luis Obispo itself, and said, okay, we want ideas for this, then Southpaw Signs, if they went to the county, Southpaw Signs, Whitford Wilkins Signs, My Sign Company, all the different sign companies would come up with different designs and then submit that to the city. But the city never does that. They come up with an idea, and then instead of throwing that idea out for conceptual art, they go to Rademacher to come up with the concept and then go from there. And in the last time that they had, that Rademacher had some signs for the city that was supposed to be set up for bid, they had all the, or not all, but let's say a third of the specs that they were requesting were incorrect for the state of California.
So there's no, so if you go to the city of San Luis Obispo and say, you know what, I want to be able to submit an idea. I want to be on the list.
Yeah,
of people.
Concept design, yeah.
Okay, how can, it just never happens?
No.
Have you done it?
Well, that I've had other companies that have. I did try to submit something. This was back over 20 years ago when I first came here. But that I know that several other companies have told me the same thing. You're not allowed to submit concept ideas. They have the concept drawing completed, and then you're there to set up bids for the actual construction or whatever of the sign itself.
Wow.
One of the interesting things I've noticed is, you know, if, as a having Cal Coast News, I can go and get a design, and I end up paying, you know, anywhere from $125 to $600, and then I'm looking at some of the government agencies in town, and they go get a design, simple square letters with like three stripes of paint over the top of it, and they pay $7,000 for the design.
Right. Government projects, for the most part, because they don't go out to bid for concepts, they go directly to whatever companies. The price is usually anywhere from 5 to 10 times what it would normally be.
I was shocked when I'm working on a story on a local government agency, and this is such, I mean, it's literally square letters. I could do this on my computer, and I would have done it myself. I wouldn't have even sent this to a designer. I could do it. And for it to be $7,000-something when I can have a sophisticated artwork for an ad or something for $150 just shocked me.
Well, yep. During the 84 Olympics down in Los Angeles, the company that came up with the conceptual art, you know, the moving stars that it was, that was $1.25 million that they charged for that design. Plus, they got money every time that was used in any advertising. So, you know, and it ended up being a scandalous thing at the end because it was somebody's relative or something that was part of the corporation that designed it.
But, I can't remember how much it was, but I remember Nike, the Nike swoosh thing cost them almost next to nothing. It was they had an art student do it.
Yeah, it was kind of like an in-house idea type of thing. Yeah, there's a lot of logos that happen that way. But it's amazing how many sign shops would like to come up with conceptual art. For instance, when they came up with the new street sign designs, the lettering style, I do not know one sign painter that said that was an intelligent idea for those signs, because the lettering that they decided on was as difficult as any to be able to read, and anyone that's in the business would realize that before, you know, even presenting something like that. It's a design that's great, as they say, in-hand artwork, but when it's at a distance where you're moving, there's no way in the world that you can read it, especially if you're a tourist.
So now who decides who to hire and to say, okay, we're going to have this design idea done? Who is it?
We can't even find that out. We can't even find that out.
I think
it's just given to Rademacher to come up with the designs.
It's kind of like having a poet laureate, but this guy's the designer laureate for the city of San Luis Obispo.
Yes.
And, you know, if you can find a tie-in, because if it goes over a certain amount, I think over, you know, at that level, it needs to have some approval.
Yeah,
and so
just like all government jobs, when it exceeds, and I don't know what the exceeding point is now. I mean, before it was like $10,000, but whatever it is, it only comes up with the final project themselves. And like I said, the last time that I saw one to bid on, there was a lot of things that were incorrect on there, and there was no way in the world that you could make the signs that way. And we were always trying to figure out, well, how did this company get that job? Because it's not possible to do the signs that way.
Interesting. Very interesting, Mike. I appreciate you. Any other thoughts today?
Also, that when you were talking about the thing in Paso, is this all part of the at the library where they had the stink hole, you know, with the sulfur pit?
It all goes back to different projects that occurred in 2003, different projects that occurred because of the earthquake in 2003. And FEMA came in and spent money in Cayucas. It spent money in South County Sanitation District in Oceano. It spent money in Atascadero. And it spent money in Paso Robles and other communities. The thing is, FEMA, you know, says you are going to get bids and you're going to get do it this way, and this way. If you don't do it, they come back and ask for their money back. And
yeah, the strange thing was they didn't even go by their own city rules.
There appears to be a number of things that weren't followed, and I bet you that over the next couple years, one city after another is asked to give some money back. And
now,
I think it's going
this,
to be.
Would this be the controller himself that is responsible for that, or is it just the controller, the council, everyone involved?
I don't know in all cities. For example, someone in the Cayucas area told me one of the directors voted to give it to his company. I was told in South San Luis Sanitation it was just given to a Walls Group because they do all the work without a bid. I know that there's been, I've been writing about Atascadero's FEMA since 2007, 2008, regarding the fact that they played around with some business building. I had Kelly Gearhart, back when he was not in under a federal investigation, tell me that the city had told him they were going to cheat FEMA. And I could gather in his present situation, he might be more willing to explain what happened on that date. I had a taped interview of him for about two different taped interviews, about 2 hours apiece. And he told me that he had gotten paperwork, he was buying the printery, they'd already signed it over into him, he just hadn't filed it because he hadn't had insurance yet. And that he got called into an office with Wendy Scalise, who's now deceased, was then the mayor, Jim Lewis, and the city manager, McKinney, and they to Wade McKinney, and they told him, let's act like it never happened. We'll make sure we protect you. Let's let the city make some money on this. We're going to claim it was still a youth center. And Kelly said at the time I agreed because I didn't think it would cause me any trouble, but later it came back to bite me because then the FEMA wanted historical rules to apply. And suddenly Kelly was having to come up with all this money to cover the historical rules that he thought then the city should be paying him for because he helped them get the $4 million by claiming that was a youth center, even though the youth center was about two blocks away in another building. So I have an idea that there was a very lengthy investigation by the Homeland Security into Atascadero, which finished recently. And I'm hoping the information on that audit will be out within hopefully the next month.
Wow. Oh, the other thing when you were talking about Mr. Hill and some of the political folks that we have, I've grown to realize that once someone runs for office, a lot of times, once they're elected, they think their IQ has tripled and everybody else has been subtracted.
it's when you in your office you have somebody prepare a throne for you with a very fancy cape and a crown.
Yeah, well, I once talked to John Wayne and I asked him. I said, you know, you really don't hear screwball things about you. I said, how come that's that way? And he told me because I never believed my own publicity.
There you go. Thanks, Mikey, for your thoughts.
Take care, guys.
Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. All right,
thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, so there's signage. Let's get to this thing here because we need to talk about a Karen Vealey report and the new redistricting lines for San Luis Obispo County, what's happening in Templeton, and let's go.
And this has been an ugly, ugly issue. There are a number of things that have been coming up. There was something passed by the state. What was it, Prop 21?
Yeah.
And that was regarding the state redistricting, but it said, you know, we've got to go back to doing this for the right reasons. It's supposed to be done, first, to keep population numbers as close as possible. Second, to keep communities of interest together. Third, geography and topography, this type of thing. There's a number of reasons. So locally in this county, when the Board of Supervisors was told, hey, you know, first do it by numbers and then by community interest and different things, William Pelfrey of Templeton filed a lawsuit against the county, which was expected to occur. And even people on both sides of the political spectrum, Stu Jenkins said he expected it to occur, and he expects the taxpayers to have to pay for this because he thinks that the Board of Supervisors is in the wrong. What they're alleging is, rather than following the rules of government code in redistricting, that they're claiming the supervisors picked redistricting to get their majority that is currently in control of the supervisors intact, to keep it intact and to make sure that Patterson is reelected. And what North County is generally more conservative than South County and San Luis. We've got a strip that runs down from North County and grabs a little chunk of San Luis Obispo, a much more liberal portion. And they're saying, no, you should have Templeton and the conservative areas that are all North County, we're more of a like community, in one district. Try to make San Luis Obispo whole, one district. It's the people of SLO. Try to work out communities of community interest. They're claiming that they did it politically for Patterson in the lawsuit. It talks about this is a little chunk that's going to help Patterson possibly remain in office, even though he's got the curse of that district. No one has ever won more than two terms.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting, and I talked to the attorney, Sophia, before I came over today. It's not in the story, but she told me she's going to tell them to rush this. And if they do not hurry up and get this, because a lawsuit like this can take more than a year. But if they don't put it on the fast track, they're going to try to put a stay before the election in June, file a stay, if the county courts do not move this forward and get it done. Because on the 20th, they filed this lawsuit on the 19th. On the 20th, the redistricting lines went into effect. And there are many, for example, San Luis Obispo is cut into three different areas.
Yeah, we're three chunks.
And Templeton School District is cut into two. They wanted to cut it into three.
Well, and then, when it started out, if I'm not mistaken, Templeton itself was cut in half. And so everybody raised such holy hell about that.
Yeah.
They said, well, are you kidding? You know, that doesn't work. You know, so then they said, oh, okay, well, we'll keep Templeton itself intact. And then the school district issue came up. And so I thought the impetus of the meetings they had was that, you know, we want to keep the school district as part of Templeton. That it would just make sense, you know, but they decided to lop it in half. And this is why this William Pelfrey's filing suit.
And they are contending that it was cut in half to make sure that a more liberal section, they were trying to keep a liberal section of Templeton into Patterson's to help Patterson stay in office. They want the whole section to be in Patterson's district and take out SLO.
Here's what's really weird about redistricting. So every 10 years after the census, they're required to redistrict.
Yeah.
All right, so they're trying to have to draw new boundaries. The problem with that is that it's like the fox in the hen house. You're giving it to the wrong people to do because it's totally in their interest to do it in their interest. And so that makes no sense to me, but that's the way it's done, and I don't get it. It's like I don't get it. Why would you have the supervisors do it when they go, okay, let's see if I get the votes from here, and I get this chunk over here, and I get this chunk over here, and everybody sits there and smiles and goes, okay, I think I got what I want. That's not what the idea of redistricting is. Redistricting is to try to keep communities in a given district so that, you know, they have a single representative. Look at San Luis with three. It's like
they can't even all. And the thing about San Luis, so it does have a city council, but your supervisor should also be there for you. And I think that's what they're going to push is to get. And I think he may have help from others. There may be more lawsuits to follow. There were a lot of people angry about this, and people that said that the supervisors were not listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen a couple of emails where people received emails back from Adam Hill saying, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you agree?" I was speaking to attorney Stu Jenkins, and Adam Hill approached him during some Democratic barbecue and told him, you know, was a little aggressive and told him he was basically unintelligent in his views on redistricting. because they didn't agree with Adam Hills. But again, the public is pretty upset that this appears to be more for political to them. And there are lines. I mean, there's, you know, the idea that it should be chunky. It should be, you know, stuff over the grade kind of kept together, not a line sneaking down into slow, and then a line sneaking over here grabbing a section of something else. That's not the way it's supposed to be as congruent as possible.
I agreed. So, again, I say to you, how is it, if you're going to give the job to the Board of Supervisors to decide what their districts are going to be, I'm sorry, I just don't see that that's going to ever work out.
And you'll look at this one, and this is not a conservative or a liberal issue. The last time there was a real, the people were up in arms about a redistricting, they were claiming it was in order to keep the conservatives in power. And actually, I think after all the anger about it, they actually lost, every one of them that was really pushing it, ended up not getting reelected, I think. I'm pretty sure. And back in like 2000 or something. And then you have the same thing going on here, and you have the public up in arms again, and this time it's a more liberal group of supervisors that are, they've got the control, they've got a three-man power grab, and it was a 3-2 vote. Bruce Gibson, Jim Patterson, and Adam Hill voted for the new type of redistricting. Frank Meacham and Paul Teixeira voted against it. So it went right down party lines.
As it so often does, I think.
Yeah. All right.
Now, let's remind people that you can go to calcoastnews.com on your computer, and it's a great site, and read. There's all kinds of opinions, everything. Ann Calhoun's, I was going to see if we could get to Calhoun's canons today, but we didn't have time. Ann Calhoun has a very interesting thing about what's going on Wall Street and the protests. And I think she has a great deal of insight in that. Now, there's all kinds of places to visit and see. Screening Room, Discover, Daily Briefs, Uncovered, San Luis Obispo. There's events. They have an event place to go to. All this on calcoastnews.com. And then they also have, in the upper right-hand corner of the banner, Talk is Cheap. And if you click on that, you'll go to here.
You can listen live.
Listen live.
Hear the Bill Benneke Show throughout the week. It's not just on Friday when Calcoast News is here. Throughout the week, you can listen to the Bill Benneke Show. You can also go on, and if you liked a show or you want to remember what was on a show, go back, and they are all podcasts. So you can now go back to any of the Bill Benneke shows. Not any since we started a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks, yeah. And I missed one. I missed last Friday because I discombobulated my buttons. But most of them today, this week is a complete full week, and we have a complete week today.
Good.
This week, and we will try to henceforth and forevermore have that exact thing happen. We thank Karen Billy for taking the time to come in from CalcoastNews.com, and we will have, and we're working on this. Please know that it's a work in progress. We're working on having news updates throughout the day, not only on this station, but on the other stations of Radio Central Coast, and we're in the process of getting that going. And so you'll be able to hear some news updates from CalcoastNews.com here and elsewhere, and we're looking forward to that. Karen, I thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.
CBS News. I'm Jim Taylor. They're coming home. Americans in Iraq. Here's CBS News correspondent Pam Coulter.
Appearing in the White House briefing room, President Obama announced all U.S. troops will leave Iraq by year's end.
Today, I can say that our troops in Iraq will definitely be home for the holidays.
Nearly 40,000 to leave the country by the end of the year. The president declaring an end to the U.S.'s 9-year-long military mission.
The long war in Iraq will come to an end by the end of this year.
Negotiations to leave a training force in Iraq fell apart over the issue of immunity for the troops. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
Reaction from Jose Vasquez, the executive director of Iraq Veterans Against the War.
We're glad to hear that the Obama administration is sticking to its campaign promises. We're also obviously excited that all the troops that are stationed in Iraq will be home by the end of the year.
The longer it dragged on, nearly 9-year conflict proving very divisive among Americans, but in Detroit today, Captain Aaron Jenkins, Michigan National Guard.
It's good to be home and have that satisfaction of a mission well done.
As Libya's former leader lies dead in a Misrati morgue, Libya's new government is declaring the country liberated this Sunday. In Iraq, a large crowd in Baghdad, Iraqi Shiites demonstrating in support of the Libyan people, and in Syria, crowds telling President Assad he will follow Muammar Gaddafi. Talking with terrorists, CBS's Cammy McCormick reports it seems that we're poised to do just that.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton confirmed the U.S. reached out to the Haqqani Network, which is blamed for killing American troops in Afghanistan. Pakistan helped set up the initial meeting, and Clinton indicated plans are being laid for what might be actual negotiations with the Haqqanis and the Taliban.
Well, they haven't told her yet, but they are leaving the campaign. Several top staffers working in New Hampshire for Republican presidential hopeful Michelle Bachmann, former Republican state legislator there, Fran Wendelboe, telling CBS News.
She really hasn't had much of a campaign in New Hampshire. She hasn't been here since June. So what do you do for a campaign that's not here?
Just reached by reporters in Iowa, Bachmann says it's not true, but staffers confirm they're out of there. Dirty restrooms, they're everywhere. CBS's Gary Nunn with details of the latest comprehensive study.
The study focused on so-called high-touch areas in all sorts of public places, from restaurants to hospitals, even commercial aircraft. In a word, yeah.
There were large numbers of bugs with the potential to cause infection.
University of Florida epidemiologist Lennox Archibald says there's no reason to be paranoid, but
people just need to be careful when they wash their hands and what they do after they wash their hands.
Hot air hand dryers are good, so are alcohol-based sanitizers. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Pretty good day on Wall Street. The Dow gains 266 to finish at 11,809. This is CBS News.
A shopping list helps you get everything you need in one trip. So what if shopping for insurance were like shopping for groceries? You still make a list to get the coverage you need in just one place. Like with a local Allstate agent. Say your list includes your car. Check. A motorcycle or RV. Check, check. Plus a boat. Or even a small business. Check and check. An Allstate agent makes it easy to protect it all. And save. So if you're shopping for a great insurance value, well, check.
Call a California Allstate agent today, and you'll also get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. Get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. For your free membership kit, just call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
Discounts vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
Occupy Wall Street in England.
London, St. Paul's Cathedral survived the German Blitz, but it's closed now for the first time since then because anti-capitalist demonstrators have been camping on its doorstep since Saturday and won't go away despite clerical appeals. The cathedral's dean says the decision was taken with a heavy heart, but that visitors' health and safety is a legal obligation. The cost of closing St. Paul's Cathedral is more than spiritual. This top tourist site is losing $35,000 a day in souvenir sales. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
You ever delete something from Facebook? You ever wonder where it goes? An Austrian law student discovering 1,200 pages of personal data about him held by Facebook long after he deleted it, including friends he'd defriended, a log of every chat he'd ever had over a 3-year period. He's filing complaints with European authorities, could result in fines exceeding $100,000. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
If you've been looking for Pandora jewelry, look no further. You'll find it at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, rings, and bracelets from Jared. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection, literally hundreds of items.
It can only be Jared!
Visit Jared throughout October and receive a Pandora pink leather travel box with any $125 Pandora purchase. See store for details.
Can't believe I'm pulling this off after all these years. So glad I got that personal loan from One Main Financial.
Can I take this blindfold off?
Let me help you.
We're going on a cruise.
No, dear. The honeymoon we never took.
You've made promises, we can help you keep them. We are One Main Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to onemainfinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. One Main Financial, your needs, your goals, your dreams. Offer subject to restrictions and requirements of a licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
Lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
What a great day in the morning, because we have Jim D in the studio with me. I'm always a little delighted when Jim can make it. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Bill. Great to be here.
Great to be here myself. Thank you very much. It's a good Friday. We're supposed to have a little bit warmer-ish weather this weekend, then we're supposed to have the cooling down trend there. And it smells. I think it's the smell of smashed pumpkins, if I remember my childhood in New Jersey. And so I think that's why you smell fall in the air.
Hey, New Jersey, there's some solidarity. I was thinking, you know, now that fall's here, summer's showed up here on the Central Coast.
That's right. You know, and we're both from Jersey now. I have to admit, I was in a little kind of a shaky area there. But did you have Mischief Night? Mischief Night was the night before Halloween.
Wow. No.
And it got so bad a number of years ago, I was reading about it. You know, it's been a long time since I was responsible for any of the mischief, but I was reading that the tradition had continued in great form. And the biggest problem was that, you know, people would go out and wild teenage youth would smash people's pumpkins that were, you know, on their porch. And that was just a given. Or they would blow them up with cherry bombs and ash cans or things to make it more dramatic. And so they Mischief Night, and there was eggs involved, and there was many things that were probably, if we had had silly string in our day, I'll tell you what, we would have done the whole town. But they actually curfewed it out. They basically said, you know, anybody over the age of 5 years old can't be on the street the night before. It was
You mentioned ash cans.
I had those when I was a kid with cherry bombs. Now, they weren't legal. They weren't legal in Jersey, but we had them.
Yep.
You know what happened? People back east, they'd go down to Florida. You know, they'd always go to Florida for these vacations, you know. And then they'd, on their way back, they'd always bring some oranges because we never saw fresh fruit. I don't know. I didn't even know what a fresh orange was. They'd bring fresh oranges, and then they'd stop in, I don't know, South Carolina or one of those states, and they'd buy $100 million worth of fireworks, you know, if they could afford it. And then they'd bring them in, and you'd be blowing stuff up all year. It was great.
There you go.
So that's nothing to do with movies, but we could make a movie. I think this would be a good movie.
Ash can.
Caught up in Jersey with ash can.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, they look like little ash cans, or little silver things.
They were silver, yeah, and they were about, now just so people really know, these were bigger than, there was twice the size of a cherry bomb. An ash can, I read later on in my life, was about equivalent to a quarter stick of dynamite.
Well, I'm going to reveal something here, Bill. There was one Halloween or back in the day in New Jersey where a friend of mine came back from the Air Force or something, and he had quarter sticks of dynamite that we blew up, and I was worried that the cops and the fire department was going to come. They were really loud.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Can I tell my ash can story real quick?
Please do.
Okay, I'm sorry, Paul. We're going to get to movies on us in a minute, but we got to tell ash can stories because we're from New Jersey. So I go downstairs with my stepbrother, and we wrap some bolts around two ash cans. I don't know what we were thinking.
Ooh.
Two ash cans. And my mother had a porcelain sink. We had a porcelain sink in our basement, and it was a double sink. And so we filled it with water, and we threw the ash cans in with the bolts to see what happened. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Every drop of water in that sink went out of the sink and hit the ceiling and went every which way, and the sink was okay for a second, and then all of a sudden it cracked right down the middle and fell on the floor and shattered. So I'm like, oh, my God. And, of course, we, being dumb juveniles that we were laughing our butts off because we hadn't got to the point yet where we're going to have to explain this. So we're just thinking this is the funniest thing we ever saw. Then all of a sudden we sobered up and said, now we got to tell the old man. Now what are we going to tell him? And so we were good at concocting stories, they were just so unbelievable that we had a hard time really arguing about them. So my father, we took him downstairs. We said, I got to tell you, this is what happened in the sink, Because how in the world could that have happened? I said, well, I was over here, I was soldering over here on the dryer, and I burned myself, and I had a wrench in my hand, and I flung it like that, kind of a reaction, and it hit the sink and shattered the sink. My father said, why would you be soldering with a big wrench in your hand? I mean, the two things don't go together. I go, I'm not that good with tools, Dad.
Or and excuses.
He's just looking at me, his eyes are wide, and he's looking at me, but he's like, how in the world did they break the sink? He says, the other sink okay? I go, I don't know. I don't know. So he fills it with water, and my father, when he was angry, he was a wrathful man. He did the punishment go undone. But anyway, so he filled the other sink, and it was okay, And then I said, oh, good, the sink's okay. So I started out to go up to the stairs. This was in a basement. And he says, wait, come here. I said, what? He handed me the wrench. It was a crescent wrench. He handed me the wrench. He said, I want you to throw that wrench as hard as you can at that sink, and I want to see you break it. I go, no, you don't want me to do that.
You're busted.
You don't want to. No, he goes, you don't want me to do that. He goes, oh, no, I do. I want you to throw that wrench as hard as you can at that sink, and I want to see you break it. I'm like, well, maybe it just hit a molecule of some kind that just, caused that to happen because I don't want to break that sink. He said, just go upstairs. And it was never mentioned again.
Oh.
Until many years later, over at dinner, I said, and he was visiting me in Los Angeles. I said, did you ever want to know what happened to the sink in the basement? He said, yes, I've always wondered what happened to the sink in the basement. So I told him, well, we blew it up. What happened? He said, I had a feeling that was it, but I wasn't sure. I just knew you couldn't do it with a wrench.
Boy, one of those pieces of family information they got to isolate the gene that we all have that we like things to blow up.
It's called the Jersey gene. The Jersey gene. If things aren't going kaboom, you're not happy.
Mm.
All right, we're going to talk about Palm Theater now. We've had a good time talking, and I hope we've entertained. But we're going to talk about Palm Theater, what's going on at the Palm, because there's always delightful things going on at the Palm Theater, our only solar-powered theater. How far is there to another solar-powered theater?
Well, sad to say, there was one up in San Francisco on Haight Street, the Red Vic Movie House, which was in operation for about 30 years, and I'm
really
so sad that they didn't continue business. They went out of their last screenings, or I think this last summer. And great movie theater right there on Haight Street, but... And I believe they were just part of a building complex where they had solar panels on the roof.
My wife and I went on a trip to San Francisco. I said, I've never actually been to Haight-Ashbury. So she said, okay, well, you want to go? I said, okay. So we took a bus. Took a long time. Mm. You have to go through Golden Gate Park and all that, go through. And so they let us off right at whatever the main downtown cross of Haight and whatever, And it was so run down and so depressing, that we walked across the street and got on the bus going back within 5 minutes. We spent 5 minutes in the Haight-Ashbury district because it had gone downhill, I think.
Yeah, well, it's still parts in the 60s, and then you may not want to be there at night, but then on Haight Street there is Amoeba Music, and if you're a music fan, that's the place to go.
That's the place, Amoeba Music.
It's great.
All right. Now, let's talk about Palm Theater and what's going on at the Palm, because there's some good things. Now, we still have our French movie, and we had yesterday, we had interviewed the people that have opened the new French restaurant in Aurora Grande that's across from Spencer's. It is fabulous.
Oh.
And cheap, and very reasonable prices. It's really good.
Wonderful.
So we have a French movie still playing, My Afternoon with Marguerite. And this was cute because the waitress, we said, what's your name? And she said, my name is Vanessa. But people call me whatever French name comes to mind. So I called her the whole time we were there, Fifi. Fifi, can you help me out with this? So tell us about An Afternoon with Marguerite.
I'm very grateful to all the people coming to see this. This is just a charming film with a great French actor, Gérard Depardieu. And he is this sort of not too bright guy who meets with this elderly woman in the park, and they like to feed the pigeons, but they strike up a relationship, and she teaches him about Albert Camus and all these wonderful authors and turns him into a reader. And I have to say, I pulled this film out of left field a couple of weeks ago. It's our biggest attended film.
Really?
I'm so thankful to my Palm patrons for finding this film, and that's why this is our third week, and I thought it was just going to be 1 week in and out, and I'm holding on to it because people are really coming to see it.
I think I might have to see this. And Gerard Devedu, a great actor and a very fine actor, and also a very homely man.
Okay.
He's put on some weight, let's just say, since his early days. But he's very good. He's a great actor.
Okay.
And Love Crime is another French film.
Oh, that's right. You had two French films. So Love Crime, and what's that about?
You know, this is a twisty-turny thriller where Kristen Scott Thomas is the CEO from hell, and she's working with this other woman, and they have this kind of a love. It's not lesbian, but it was sort of a love affair that goes awry, and then they become bitter enemies. And I shouldn't give it away, but it is a murder mystery, and it's one of these things where when the murder happens, you're going to go, how on earth is this going to resolve? And it's a real twisty, turny, you know, wonderful plot twists and turns. And I think it's a great little film. So
fun. Oh, fun.
It's fun.
We have new things at the Palm, but I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break and then come back and talk about new things. Because we spent part of our time talking about ash cans and you were right up in New Jersey and, you know, the way life was. Okay. we'll be back.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed, which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
We're back. We're back. Palm Theater. Jim D is with me today on 1340 KYNS, your news station in San Luis Obispo. Talk is cheap with Bill Denica and with Jim D. And so we're going to talk about some other stuff because we have new things that have come our way. Now, wait, we have another one that's still there because everybody they say, I have to see it again. I don't know why, but I'm compelled to see it again. And that's Midnight in Paris.
You know, it's actually doing okay. We played it out last summer, played it for 12 weeks, but again, it's kind of a slow period for movies. I mean, that's why I pulled in my afternoons with Marguerite, because there wasn't a whole lot else to play. So I brought back Midnight in Paris, and it's on our small screen, and people are very appreciative that it brought it back, and it's plunking along, just the way I thought. You know, it's kind of interesting, too. There's a new film out with Owen Wilson and Steve Martin and Jack Black called The Big Year, and it's about birders. And I was really surprised. I thought that comedic trio would really bring people out to the theaters, but it's actually kind of... I haven't heard how good it is, but I was surprised that it wasn't kind of a hit.
Here's what I'm wondering, and we talk about these things. People have this box office draw thing. You say, okay, Angelina Jolie can get X amount of money, and Brad Pitt can get X amount of money, people can get X amount of money. I don't know why. It's just, and I'm not a big movie goer, you know. I go to the Palm, and then almost never go to the other movies. I just wait till they come out on video. but there's a sense to me of the fact of that sort of going away, that just isn't going to happen much with this generation that's coming along. you're going to be, I mean, now maybe they're going to find, I should say to be fair, this Pat, is it Pattison, is that his name, the guy in the Wolf movies, you know, the new Twilight movies.
Yeah, there's a new one coming out here pretty soon.
Right. Now, so the three stars of that seem to still be a huge box office draw, but interestingly enough, they're a huge box office draw with that series of movies. This Pattison guy was in that Water for Elephants movie, and Water for Elephants didn't do that well, did it?
No, and Bill, you nailed it because it's like that star power that we used to know back in the 50s, 60s, yeah. Well, probably more like the 40s, 50s, and 60s, even into the 70s. It doesn't seem to pan out. It's almost like the concept of the movie is what sells the movie.
Right, right.
When Bob and I did our show on Elizabeth Taylor, we were going back to some of her very obscure movies that we hardly even remembered. But she still filled the theaters back in the 60s because she was in it. She had star power.
Right, right.
And, you know, like you said, the star in the Twilight series, if he stars in something else, are all the people who went to who packed the theaters for the Twilight series, are they going to follow this actor into another film?
It doesn't look like that.
It's hit and miss,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. And then, of course, the longevity of stars, you know, holding on to their career, it just doesn't seem to happen like the olden days.
Here's the other thing, too, though, but to be fair, because now you're going to have Daniel Radcliffe and all the contingent that was in the Harry Potter series, and now they're off on their own, you know. And the one thing Daniel Radcliffe did, he had his wiener hanging out or something. I don't know what it was, some crazy
movie. He was on the London stage and was in Equus, I think, and that the role that he played, he needs to be naked, I think, in one of the roles. I hear he's fabulous in that production. My daughter actually saw it when in London, went to see Equus. But again, that his place in the movie is, if he's not playing Harry Potter, are people going to go see him?
It's a
big question mark.
It is a question mark. Anyway, very interesting. Now, and the other person that came to mind was Julia Roberts, of course. Julia Roberts says, well, you know, we can get a bazillion dollars. But Julia Roberts has been in, I'm not going to call them flubs, but they have not been spectacular one iota.
You know,
last few things she's done.
And again, I'll say question mark, why didn't people go see Eat, Pray, Love?
Yeah,
that
really,
she was in,
really.
Because the book was a huge hit. The movie just sort of was okay. I mean, what I'm talking about is attendance-wise. And so it's, yeah, the movie business is funny, and people's movie-going habits, I'm in the business, and I still can't figure them out.
Well, but as you kind of admit here, they're becoming more fickle. You got more inputs from, you know, what you can watch on the tube and what you can rent and what you can do and all that kind of stuff. And
mm-hmm.
So people's viewing habits are changing, I guess, somewhat.
Yeah, and what hooks them in is beyond me. And again, you mentioned Midnight in Paris. I mean, from day one this past summer, we were packed with that movie. I asked people, what was the draw? Oh, I had to see this movie. Was it Owen Wilson? Oh, was it Woody Allen? They don't know. But there are movies that people zero in on and they have to see, and what that hook is beyond me. And I think it's beyond Hollywood, too.
I think it is, too. I will say, though, with Midnight in Paris, I'm going to say that part of my compulsion to see the movie would be that it was a Woody Allen movie,
mm-hmm.
more than an Owen Wilson movie, even though I think Owen Wilson's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when Woody Allen has a stamp on a movie, I think people say, okay, I'll go see that, you know. But you go these days, you know, longevity can only go for so long. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You can only keep hitting home runs so long. And so I think whenever I go to a movie and I say, well, I really like what Ridley Scott's always been great to me. I love those action jobs he does.
Mm-hmm.
But then you find a movie that he does and you go, what the heck happened here? You know, because it's just there's very few people doing a whole body of a lot of work to me. You know, there's very few directors, in my opinion, of regular go-to-the-cinema type movies that are actually doing movies. I mean, and, you know, it's a handful of guys. I mean, a dozen or so.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. You know, they're doing all the movies. And so that's they're lucky because they, you know, people say, well, you're good enough that we depend on you to do a good movie. Well, good for them. But, you know, how many good ones can you do?
Well, interestingly, you said you were drawn maybe to Midnight in Paris because of Woody Allen. I mean, can you name his last film? It was called, well, I'll tell you, it was called You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger. It had Anthony Hopkins. Very few people came to see it. It made a fraction of the gross that Midnight in Paris did. So he still makes a film like once a year. Midnight in Paris hit, and it hit very well. I mean, worldwide, I think it's made over $100 million. That's kind of interesting for a Woody Allen movie. But his last two or three, which I can kind of remember the last one.
Yeah.
They just kind of came and went, and nobody went.
Now, let me ask you a question. Was that movie, if you can remember, was that movie with Anthony Hopkins before or after Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, yeah. It was like about a year ago. It was
that elevated. Anthony Hopkins has always been a fabulous actor, but that just somehow it put him in a place that people hadn't seen him before,
mm-hmm.
and really I think elevated his status as far as an actor. As kind of weird as that is for the kind of movie it was, but it doesn't matter. He played it so brilliantly, you know.
Oh,
he was as evil as evil could be,
mm-hmm.
and so that elevated his thing. So then it would seem to me, what was the movie? Who was Julia Roberts? Who were the two big actors that were just who was in Eat, Pray, Love?
Javier Bardem was in it.
No, not that. No. There's another movie that was just out that had two people, and I thought to myself, I know Tom Hanks. Who was with Tom Hanks in his last movie?
Julia Roberts. And it was called something Crow. I can't even.
Bob Crow or something. But anyway, so I thought to myself, if you have this is the proof in the pudding right here. If you have Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts and they do a movie and it doesn't go, I'm sorry, you know, that they, even if it's crap, they can sort of carry it. You know, they just can.
Yeah.
They're that good. But if they can't make it work, then they're very interesting. Times are a-changing.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I can't think of the title, maybe it just didn't light a fire under anybody. But again, there's that question, and it's interesting to discuss it about what is star power and what is the lasting element of star power. And it's these days, it's kind of iffy or fickle. The audience is fickle, I think.
But
that
I think anybody would give their right arm to be a Daniel Radcliffe. I mean, any actor would say, okay, give me a series that I'm going to do 8 movies out of, and they're all going to be successful. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's my whole career is those 8 movies, you know, I'm going to be paid enough money and I'm going to do well enough that that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see where that, you know, people would envy that really and say that's really cool to be able to do that. Because you know what we're seeing more and 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 more are the actors that are going to TV. Especially the older actors that are going to TV.
It's funny that TV thing, because you think of George Clooney started out in television,
and
now
movies,
he's nurtured his career incredibly well.
Yeah.
And Michael J. Fox even was on TV, and then he nurtured his career in the movies. So, you know, back in the 50s, the TV was like, get it out of here, let's make the movies. Or the TV movie crossovers weren't really...
We had too much of that test pattern thing. You know, we were all if they'd had the test pattern in the 60s when everybody was getting stoned, you know, that would have been great. That would have worked fine. But it was in the 50s, and everybody was just sitting around going, "What the hell is that?" All right, let's talk about other things that are going. The way is what?
The Way is our new film for today, and this one I'm looking forward to. It has Martin Sheen. It is directed by his son, maybe the lesser sensationally known Sheen son, Emilio Estevez, and he directed it. It's about this spiritual journey that I only found out about a few years ago when Patty, my wife, and I went to Spain. We went to the northwestern city of Santiago de Compostela, and this has a church that is like the destination for those who do this trek, this spiritual journey. And I think the actual journey starts in France, where you walk through most of Spain to go to this holy place in Santiago de Compostela. Anyway, the film has Martin Sheen playing a father who loses his son. And the son was going to take this spiritual journey, so Martin Sheen decides to do it himself. And it's gotten some great reviews. It looks really interesting. It's got both Emilio Estevez and Martin Sheen in it. It's supposed to be kind of uplifting, kind of humorous, and we got some good reviews with it. And I had quite a few requests for it, too, so that's why it came in with it.
I'm trying to think of the last movie I saw Martin Sheen in.
The Redux of Apocalypse Now. How about that?
Oh, okay. What does that even mean when they do that? What does that mean? I recorded it when they came out with a lot. I don't. Why is it different than the first one?
Francis Ford Coppola added a lot of footage that he left out of the final cut. Remember how he was working with Apocalypse Now? It was like a work in progress, and the end was different in a few different versions. So then he did this one called The Redux or The Redo, where he just puts all of this extra footage in. There's a lot of extra footage of Brando. There's extra footage where they meet up with these French people, have dinner, and they talk, you know, the French are talking about, you know, the French were, I believe, the first ones who went into Vietnam.
Well, no, they were one of many, but they preceded us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's this sort of, I mean, not bad play on words, but the French Connection in Vietnam, nothing to do with the movie. But, I mean, there were a lot of scenes, and Francis Ford Coppola shot tons of footage and, of course, came down to about a 2-hour and 15-minute film. This longer version runs, you know, close to 3 hours or so, has a lot of additional footage.
I have watched it. I can't believe, you know, that I do have my senior moments where I can't remember stuff I know, but I thought I would always remember the name of this movie. And
a Martin Sheen movie, maybe?
Martin Sheen movie where he was the only private ever executed for desertion.
Oh, I should know this. Bob would know it.
Do you know the... I'll try to think of it. It was weird. I mean, he was this weird guy that was in the Army during the Second World War, and he was just an odd, you know, kind of an odd guy and kind of a mother's boy and all that kind of thing, you know. And he got separated from his unit, and he really didn't know what to do, and he wasn't a really smart guy. So so he spent time with his family, French family or whatever, you know, and finally he another unit came along months later, and they said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I got separated from my unit." They said, "Well, why didn't you try to go find them?" He goes, "I didn't know where to look." I mean, but he was real. I mean, he was just kind of a little bit, you know, not too bright, and so he was executed. He was the only Army enlisted man executed in the Second World War for desertion.
I'll run this one by Bob Whiteford,
okay,
because he'll know.
Maybe I'll
this.
Remember. Maybe I'll remember. Let's get on the phone because we got somebody on the phone saying hi. Hello?
Hey, real quick, The Execution of Private Slovak.
There you go. That's it. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, you got the best listeners.
That's right. The Execution of Private Slovak. That was it. And then he played another movie that was really kind of fun called, I think it was called similar to it, and Mike, if I don't get it right, the California Kid, where his younger brother had been, he felt a cop had run him off the road because he was, you know, he was out of state and he was from California and he was in a hot rod. And so it was a revenge movie kind of thing. So he goes back deliberately to this town and gets this cop to hate his guts.
Oh.
You know, and then the big ending of the whole thing right there. Mike, what's the name of that one? What was the name of that one? The California Kid, was that it? I don't remember. Okay. Oh. All right, well, let's move on here. He can't remember either. All right, so we have Attack the Block.
Attack the Block is a lot of fun. I mean, this is our horror movie, kind of a monster movie that we have. And this film is a real kick in the pants. It came out very early in the summer and came and went very quickly because of all those blockbusters, and this was sort of a, you know, under-the-radar film. But this is like, you know, London kids from the hood taking on aliens, and it's scary.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's a lot of fun. And most people, I didn't see Super 8 over the summer, but most of the people come in and they see this and they go, boy, this is the movie that Super 8
should have been.
But it's great. It's a young cast, and they're just here, these aliens, you know, flying into London, and they're really pretty scary, let me tell you. They have these glowing teeth. It's really, but it's a lot of fun. And I wish more people would come see it. But
I'll go see it. Nancy will see it with me. I'll see it. But she'll probably want to see one of these. She'll probably want to see, like, The French Job.
Oh, Love Crime is quite good.
All right, Love Crime. And then we have Primitive.
Now, Primitive is a special 5-day screening. We started showing this last night. This is made by a local filmmaker by the name of Benjamin Cooper, and there's a lot of locations in San Luis Obispo, the Central Coast, and it's a pretty scary little movie, and it's kind of nice to see, you know, local talent making good. This is a very good little movie. We pretty much sold it out last night at 9:15. It shows again tonight at 9:15, Saturday and Monday at 9:15. It plays also on Sunday at 7 o'clock. And it's a local filmmaker, and getting a big kick out of showing it at the Palm.
So will he be in the film festival?
I'm not sure if he'll be in the film festival, but he'll be at the Palm, and if you want to watch his movie and talk to him during or after the film.
Are there actors you're going to recognize from going to PCPA or going to Little Theater or any of that? Are there local actors?
I think so. I'm not sure. I think it's all local talent. He's a local talent. I think he has one pretty big name in there who was in a bunch of films, a character actor.
And what's his name again?
Oh,
no, what's his...
The filmmaker is Benjamin Cooper.
Cooper, because the name's familiar. We've known his name for some reason.
He's made a couple of other films, and this is his latest, and it's nice to see him getting better with each film. And we just have 5 days at the Palm to showcase this locally made movie.
Cool. By the way, I got an email the other day, which is interesting, because the people that we have people that come to our film festival that adore our film festival for whatever reason, and I interview, and because you know I'm doing that more and more, is interviewing the people. And so the people that did Sequest. There's a movie called Sequest, and the movie's doing really pretty well all around the world. But at film festivals, mostly kind of thing, it's never gone into big theatrical release. But they email me every now and then and say this is really doing pretty good. And,
oh, good.
You know, so it's interesting. They stay in touch with me, but anyway, that's kind of fun. So we have our what's our film festivals in March?
March, I think it's the first week in March. I wish I had March. I had the dates, but I don't.
All right, but that's all right. We'll get to that, and we'll be talking more about the film festival and what's going on. Lots of great movies right now at the Palm. I mean, you can't hardly go wrong. And they got the great prices, they got the great popcorn, and they just have a great theater. And Jim D's your host, so you can't hardly go wrong with that. I would this weekend, if I were you, I would take myself to the movies. And Jim, I thank you very much.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here, Bill.
Sir,
take care.
Tina McBride.
Yay!
Live in concert. October 27th, 8 p.m. at Shumash Casino Resort. An incredible night live with Grammy winner Martina McBride.
Now we're just mothers. We're just fathers.
Four-time CMA Vocalist of the Year, Martina McBride. October 27th, 8 p.m. at Shumash Casino Resort. The multi-platinum hitmaker performs like only she can. Feel the amazing power and passion of Martina McBride. October 27th, 8 p.m. at Shumash Casino Resort. Reserve seats are on sale now at Club Shumash, shumashcasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737. Martina McBride.
Right now, the Home Depot has 10% off appliances of $297 or more, plus free haul away and delivery that's really free on brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. So it's never been easier to get appliances that are more dependable, more energy efficient, and yes, shiny. An upgraded kitchen or laundry room starts with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through November 9th, U.S. only. See store for details.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared.
At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Cut Diamond, and the spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Hide it. California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu, Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Huge savings happen every day at Idler's Appliance Outlet.
Unbelievable savings on refrigerators, washers, dryers, ranges, dishwashers, and more. Nobody matches our selection of closeouts, floor models, and factory blemished appliances. All brand new, all with factory functional warranties. There's no need to wait for a sale. You can save 20, 30, 40% every day, and new stock arrives weekly.
Idler's Appliance Outlet. Idler's. The best prices just got better. Guaranteed.
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's where you'd be. Hi, you're with Bill. Talk is cheap. Your friends and neighbors are on 1340 KYNS. I thank you for joining me today. It's Friday. It's been a good week. We had a lot of stuff going on. Next week, I have guests, all kinds of different people coming in next week. And one of the things we're going to do, a new thing, we're going to try it. I've never done this, so we're going to try it. I should say I've never done it. I did it every day years ago at another radio station. I've never done any kind of a sports thing to speak of, except to mention a few things for Cal Poly, and tell you that the everybody's kind of sitting there going, you know, this World Series is pretty darn good. You know, nobody was paying any attention to St. Louis and Texas, and now all of a sudden they're going, hey, you know what, great series. Besides that, so at around 12:15-ish, don't hold us to the exact moment, but around 12:15-ish on Monday, Josh Wright is coming in, and the nicest man in the whole wide world, and knows sports like crazy, and we're gonna talk about, you know, what happened the day before and stuff a little bit, it's not gonna be real long, but I thought it'd be new and different, and we'll see how it goes. All right, we're a work in progress, are we? Okay, we're a work in progress. All right, one of the things that we do as a work in progress is we do gossip. We do gossip. You know, here's one interesting thing I'm learning about something too, is that there you go. If it sits long enough, then the thing doesn't want to work. If it sits over here, you know, and I minimize it and I go, okay, I'm ready now. It goes, I'm not. I'm not ready. So maybe we're not going to worry about that. Okay, I think we're not going to worry about that. That's not right. That's good. Let's take it. Let me say this one. Okay, let me see. I don't even know what the story is. Oh, here's somebody that did something just kind of wacky and weird for the fun of it, I guess.
Steve Malley became bored with baking the basic burger, so he decided to make the biggest in the world.
I got the idea to do this from the Guinness World Record book. I was actually thumbing through it, and I seen Thailand had the world record for a 78-pound burger. This didn't make sense having it in Thailand, so I thought we'd bring it home.
This 350-pound monstrosity of meat is not the first of its kind.
First burger that we ever made was 134 pounds. That's when we first got our Guinness World Record. Most recently, we did a 319-pound burger. Today, we're going to beat it with a 350-pound burger.
It takes 20 hours to bake 270 pounds of hamburger and 8 hours to cool it off in the freezer.
This actually cooks down to about a 180-pound patty. You actually lose about 100 pounds of grease.
The bun weighs 100 pounds and takes 4 hours to bake. Then come the condiments.
We've got 20 pounds of American cheese, 15 pounds of tomatoes, 15 pounds of onions, 10 pounds of pickles, 10 pounds of bacon, and 10 pounds of lettuce.
So how does it taste?
Actually tastes excellent. It tastes like a big meatloaf.
Believe it or not, it's even on the menu.
72-hour notice. We can make one for you.
Okay. Yeah, why not? Wimpy will be right there to order one up. 350-pound hamburger. Fine. All right, let's look at what else is going on in the news today. Gaddafi, the whole thing. So now there's a big issue with Muammar Gaddafi, and exactly what happened. Exactly what happened, because they found him alive. They know that they found him alive inside of a drain tube, a tunnel, underneath the highway. So they found him alive, and then they showed him alive, and then all of a sudden he's dead. And so they said that a firefight broke out, and he got hit from a large distance, which some people are finding somewhat some skepticism in that, understandably, because at one point they showed this guy with a big, huge gun standing right in front of him, and he was actually the wounds were very large in his head and stomach from a very large caliber pistol. So I'm not sure. I don't know. And they said, we wouldn't have killed him. We wanted to take him to trial before the world. You know, we wanted to, somebody was torqued off. One way or the other, that's the way it is. All right. Now, here's the thing that we need. You know, when you talk about one side of things, then you have to talk about the other side of things, to be fair. And I'm going to be as fair as I can be here. Pay cut on the table for city workers. Many employees are asked to cut nearly 7% from their pay and benefits to help and try to balance its budget. Now, can I just say, I really want to say something, though, to the employees. I've lost, I have in the last year, I have lost much more than 7% in pay. I've lost a whole lot more than that. So I'm just telling you, but I think it's only right that you consider doing this, because you know everybody's hurting for certain, and that's the way the mop has to flop, as far as I'm concerned. Now let me get this thing here. Oh, it's a. All right, so here's what they're talking about in some cases. Slow City Employees Association, a proposed cut of 6.8% is what they're talking about. So it brings up the Battalion Chiefs Association, Slow Fee Fire, Slow Police Officer Association. So anyway, but it's from all these amounts of money. It's a 6.8% cut. So it takes, if you take all the money in the whole wide world pay to all these people, it'd be $45,556,000. And so the cut is going to be $3,099,999999. So it's going to be $3,100,000. And I'm not going to say that's not a sacrifice. That is a sacrifice. I grant you. All right. Here's a big story here. This parcel was added to the Price Canyon plan, but some residents are concerned about the city's expanding sphere of influence. How far is it going to go? Because now they're talking about a piece of property, the Godfrey property it's called. I don't think it's Arthur. It's just a Godfrey property. And it's going to go all the way from, I don't know where, it's on Price Canyon Road, not quite to 101 James Way, but close to that. You know, there's already some stuff there. There's already a yard there and a school, whatever there is. Anyway, but then it would go almost to Armandi Drive. That's a hike. That's a distance. So anyway, and they show, is this what they show? Are they showing four parcels of the Godfrey property? Yeah, they have lines in it. I don't know if they're showing. Oh, I see. Now, I apologize. That was already the deal. The Godfrey property, I think, is the chunk in the back that would head south. Anyway, we'll see what happens. This is a huge thing, this Price Canyon development project. There's no question about it. It's huge. So we'll see what happens. Other thing, what's going on with the bears? The bears, remember the place in Ohio where the animals got out? And they couldn't find a wolf and a monkey. They got the wolf finally. And you know where they found? The monkey was found inside of a tiger. So the bad thing they were worried about already started to happen. You know, that the wildlife would start feasting on whatever they could find close by, which could be families and whatnot. All right, a bear has feasted on pecan logs, caramel apples, and other treats at a candy store in the Smoky Mountains Resort of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Employees reported for work found the bear Wednesday morning. He knocked a hole in the glass front door to enter. The police propped open several back doors and made loud noises as the bear ran into the woods. The animal had spread candy on the floor, and wrappers and packaging were strewn throughout. Pecan logs had been chewed, and chunks were missing out of caramel apples. So he just had a good old time. Good for him. All right, let's see what else we got here. Let's see. The group that expected the world to end today. Did you know that? We just knew about that. So that was going to happen today. And then I'm making another note down here. Let me get to a little bit right here. Says the risk of recession seems to be falling. Okay, if you say so. Let me see where we see that. The risk of recession seems to be falling, but we're talking about a 7% tax cut, or pay cut, rather, for city employees. So I guess it is falling. It's falling right out of everybody's pockets. But that can happen. All right, other things that are going on, though, I want to tell you about is I want to talk about Spencer's Fresh Markets because they're so great. Spencer's Fresh Markets have 5 locations on the Central Coast, and they always have such great things. And don't forget they're an IGA store. So that means that you said, Bill, what does that mean? It means that you are going to get great deals on your products. And so you have your day-to-day paper towels, toilet paper, dishwasher soap, you know, sugar, flour, canned corn, beans, you know, those kind of things, and you can save a ton. And it would be crazy not to. And Nancy and I did. We started saying, okay, where can we generic size ourselves, you know, and kind of do that. And so we shopped at Ralston. And I'm going to say honestly, I'm not lying to you. We were absolutely surprised by what our pill was at the end. So I would be and a good surprise. Not one of those surprises you go, oh my God, what did we buy? It was we thought we had bought a lot of stuff. We both said this is what we think it's going to cost, and we were both completely wrong. And it was very reasonable. So. I'm telling you, and Spencer's Market is a fun place to kind of, in my opinion, to sort of browse through and say, okay, let me see, here's a product I didn't even know about, or here's a product that might be better than a product I'm using, all that kind of stuff. And so that's what was on there, so that's really kind of cool. So I would go to John Spencer's if I were you and get hold of the great thing. Don't forget there's a small pamphlet you can get when you walk in, and it's got special coupon savings on things, and you can save on special coupon savings on things. So there's a good idea to do that right there. And so go to John Spencer's Market. They're in Morro Bay at Escondero. They're also down in Aurora Grande across from La Petite Cafe in San Luis Obispo and in Santa Maria. So that's what's going on there. And other people in the news, I was going to go right to the opinion page and see if there's something I really wanted to tell you about right there. Theft of our future. Here, somebody from the conclusion of Patty's letter in the letter to the editor in October, one has to subject that she hasn't tried to get a job recently. I suspect that people are not demonstrating for more welfare or higher pay. They're demonstrating because they are afraid that there will soon be no jobs for hardworking, educated, creative Americans. Of course, the people are frustrated when they see the current corporate mindset of CEOs whose priorities have been personal profit at the expense of the future of the companies that they were supposed to serve. That these individuals would feel entitled to drive their companies into the ground while reaping obscenely disproportionate incomes, then reward themselves again with funds from the bailout money is beyond immoral. Unfortunately, due to the public influence such people have, very few are being held accountable, and such practices continue. This is not capitalism, it's theft of our country's future. Which is a good point. That's why I don't have time to read. Anne Calhoun's Calhoun Canons because it addressed the whole thing. But well, I think we can do it Monday. I think she'll forgive me till Monday. Okay. Here was an interesting letter. Also, I thought this is from Dave in Grover. He said, "I served on the Air Pollution Control Board for several years in the past, so I know quite a bit about their goals. I know that they were ecstatic when the state reduced the measurement of dust in the air down to 10 parts per million as it is now. It gave them a new lease on life as a government watchdog. What I don't know now is, what does this small particle do to my body? Is it absorbed and discarded? Does it remain and pollute my lungs? How much does it take before my health is seriously affected? Number two, when I take my grandkids down to the beach and they inhale some of these sand particles, have I put them at risk? Are they at risk of future health problems caused by my stupidity and exposing them to nature? Is one day of exposure okay? How about 10 days? How about 10 years? Number three, are the kids at Mesa Middle School protected, or should they close the school? How about Lopez Continuation High School? Who let these schools open in the first place, he says. Who did that, I ask you. And lastly, should evacuation of the Mesa be considered and Santa Maria safe? Will bureaucracy eventually eat itself? We can only hope so.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself,
what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Ooh, yeah. I think the same darn thing right there. Let's think about that this weekend. Have a good weekend. We'll get together again on Monday at noon. Until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, 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 bye.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet
News. I'm Jim.